Welcome back to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics podcast, the voice for women in midlife and beyond. At Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, we talk about anything and everything to do with midlife. My name is Colleen.
My name is Bridget.
And this is a funny episode, guys, with Kate Flannery. She was Meredith the Drunk on 9 seasons of The Office. She is a comedian. She's an actress. She's a singer. I mean, she can kind of do everything.
Right.
And we talk a lot about the fact that her success came later in life and what a gift that was, because she doesn't know that she would have reacted to it the same way in her 20s and 30s. So it's going to be a fun conversation. My favorite term that came out of it was vanity insanity.
Yes.
I almost wanted to use that for our title.
Trademark that. I loved how she said too that, you know, when you get to that age, she said she was 40 when she started working on The Office, and that just kind of gave her some wisdom and how to appreciate everything. And she said, once you get that past that midlife age, if you're already crazy, the crazy goes really high.
This week is insanity, guys. Our Conversations with Prime Women event is Saturday in New York City at Penn 2. There are still maybe a couple tickets left. If you guys want to grab one, you can go to eventbrite.com or you can go to conversationswithprimewomen.com and get those seats. The venue is gorgeous. The panelists are incredible. And I've pretty much lost my mind in preparation. So we're ready to go. I've also noticed that we've been getting a lot more emails with questions, which I absolutely love. And I think, you know, we're part of the Modern Prairie app, Melissa Gilbert's app, and we do Me and My Hormones over there. And I think that's kind of garnered even more questions. So if you haven't checked out that app, make sure to, it's free. You can download it. And we're on there once a month. We always get a lot of questions, but it seems to have upped recently and some really interesting ones that we have not covered. So we have some new conversations that we are definitely going to be bringing because of the email. So we thank everybody. Again, if you have a question or you want us to talk about a topic, just email us at hotflashescooltopics@gmail.com. And if we don't have the answer, we will certainly find the expert who does have the answer. And you might just find it on one of our episodes. And if you like the episodes, guys, check out our YouTube channel, because they're almost all of them are up there, and you can see us with our facial expressions, which sometimes I wish weren't caught on camera, but they are. And it just gives you an extra little flavor to some of these episodes. And it's fun to watch. So go over to Hot Flashes Cool Topics on YouTube. Time to laugh and time to have a really great conversation with Kate Flannery. We'll talk to you afterwards. Welcome back to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. Today, we are going to have a really fun conversation with Kate Flannery. Many of you will remember her as the drunk Meredith from The Office, but she's really busy, and we are just thrilled to have you on the show. So welcome to the show, Kate.
Hey, how's it going, Colleen and Bridget? What's up?
Going great.
Yes, we have interviewed a lot of people over the last 4 years, but I have to tell you, my daughter is one of the biggest fans of The Office. And when I told her I was interviewing you, she lost her mind.
So we need to get you some mom tree cred here. We need to get you. Yeah,
I kind of wanted to start a little bit about now and then work our way back. So right now you have a couple shows. You've got Plan B and The Prank. Can you talk a little bit about those shows and what's going on with
them? Actually, they're both movies.
No,
it's okay. The Prank is a horror comedy starring Rita Moreno, Keith David, Meredith Salinger, myself. We filmed this it was almost 2 years ago, and it was just South by Southwest last year, and it's in limited theaters right now, but it'll be on a platform soon. I don't know which one. But what a joy to work with the great Rita Moreno, she's an EGOT, but she's also a wonderful energy to be around, and I want to be her when I grow up.
What was it like working with her?
To be honest, I didn't have scenes with her. We just got to do press together. But everyone that worked with her on set, I mean, she was playing a really mean character. She never gets to play mean characters. It's a shame, because we should have had more movies with her playing a mean person. She's hilarious and fantastic and perfect. I'm the lunch lady. I've been a lunch lady before. I actually did the voice for the graphic novel, The Lunch Lady series. Jerry Krakowski. Yeah, it's such a great, I'm Krasowski, sorry, I'm saying his name wrong, but he's such a great author. He has a book called Hey Kiddo. If you have any like teens or like you know, tweens, they should be all reading these books. Lunch Lady is so fun. She's like a superhero. It's fun. Unlike in The Prank, where she's not so super. But yeah, I get to do some really interesting projects since The Office ended. And I have to say, like, you know, guys, I was 40 years old when I got The Office. I was still waiting tables. I was working, but I felt like I still had to supplement my income. And, you know, a lot of people give up at 40. And I'm here to tell you, I am a late bloomer in the sense that, like, even though I've been at this since I was young, I've never, you know, things haven't come fast all the time. And I feel like, for me, slow and steady wins the race. You know, slow but sure, as my dad would say. It's just like, I think there's something to be said for having a lot of experience, still having an open heart, going after your dreams, but not being bitter when they don't happen quickly. And hopefully not comparing yourself to other people, because that is the worst.
Yeah, that's such a good message, because so many people do give up, or they hit 40 or 50 and they think that, okay, this is it. But that's the thing Colleen and I want to get out with this podcast, is we've got a lot of life left in us. I mean, look at Rita Moreno in her 90s.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's a perfect example. But the other thing too is that we have so much life experience, and hopefully we've learned to avoid some drama that used to trip us up when we were younger. And just
absolutely
understand, like, it's just, you know, I mean, that, and so hopefully there's more gratitude, there's more joy when good things do happen. Cause you realize that, that it's rare sometimes, and you better dig it. You better really, really enjoy every minute of it. Cause why not? You know, I mean, that's why we're here. Like, if you're not having a good time, you know, I don't know about you, but it's like, what's the point of all the hard work if you can't have some joy?
That's right. Yeah.
Definitely appreciate it more, mm-hmm, having a little bit of life experience beforehand. What about Plan B? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, this is a movie called Plan B. Okay. The best thing about Plan B is, it's a very funny movie, and there's, it's a rom-com starring Jamie Lee, and John Heder. And John Heder was, he played Napoleon Dynamite. He's the best. And Jamie is a very funny, writer, actress, stand up. I knew her. I used to host a TV Guide Network all female stand up show called Stand Up and Stilettos. That was like 12 years ago. And she was on it. It was like her first TV appearance. So it's kind of full circle for that. And then the other thing is that Tom Berenger's in the film. And I got to tell Tom, I was an extra in the movie Eddie and the Cruisers when I was a senior in high school.
Really?
So it's so full circle for me that I'm like working in a movie with Tom Berenger. And so I told the extras in the movie, like, this could be you in 40 short years. We shot Eddie and the Cruisers in 1982. I mean, that's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah.
So, pretty awesome. So again, I'm like, you know, be pleasantly persistent in your life. You can be persistent, but if you're not pleasant, then you're not really going to, like, nobody really wants to be around an angry, persistent person.
Right. Who wants to work with you?
You got to figure out that piece. And that's an inside job. You got to figure that out.
Right.
And you also have to hold your dreams and hopes and wishes with a little, you know, you have to keep them somewhat sacred. You can't be the punchline of your own life. I think there's a point where, you know, I mean, having done a lot of comedy on stage and clubs and stuff, I realized, like, even in relationships, like, I remember when I met my boyfriend, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to talk about him on stage because I see that's a pattern. I usually made them a punchline after they broke up with me, but still, you know, it's like, you know, doesn't always really work, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you could sexualize it maybe, but still, you know, you want to keep your life, you know, have some sense of sacredness to your journey. And, you know, I mean, not to sound too, hoity-toity or, you know, or full of it, you know, but I think that there's something that, like, we don't talk about, but I feel like, you know, if there's something you really want to do, you know, maybe it's not up for discussion with other people. You might want to just keep it a little inside, keep it safe, or just only talk to with people that really support you.
Right. I think, yeah, that is something special between, you know, two people or whoever, your family, or they may not want their life shared, you know, out there. Yeah.
This is true. Yeah. And I also think that, you know, there's, you know, we're allowed to have our private lives, and you need to, you know, like make sure it's okay with someone else.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
You know, that kind of leads me to the question, what was it like kind of gaining that notoriety post 40 when you've already kind of had
well,
your life?
Well, so much easier. It's so much easier because you have much more perspective. You realize like, because I had studied and worked at Second City and the touring company, I felt like there's so many funny people that I knew that did well when they were young, and then maybe things didn't go well later. So I understood that this was a gift to get a job in my 40s, especially on TV where, you know, especially for women, we change so much between the age of 20 and 40, but it's harder when you get older because everyone wants you to look like you did when you were younger. And, you know, it just, I mean, and we all do it. Like I, even though I'm like, I hope, you know, no one does it to me. It's like, it's hard not to compare what people look like as they get older. So it's, and I feel like when you're 40 to 60 is a much better, learning curve because you don't change that much from 40 to 60. It's not as dramatic for most people.
Did you always know you were funny? Did you always want to be a comedian, or was it, I want to be an actress? And then I realized.
I always wanted to be an actress. And I remember when I was 15, it was the first time I ever sang in a variety show in a club, nightclub. And, I was telling jokes in between songs. And I was like, I didn't really plan it, but I was like, oh, wait, I sort of understood the sense of like showbiz that had to go on, which is I feel like, and the thing is, I studied acting in college. I studied musical theater for 2 years and then I got my degree in acting. But I think that, something about comedy as a fan spoke to me much more. But I think as an actor, when you're on stage and you don't get a laugh, you know you got to fix that moment. Like, you know, it's a great roadmap, and it's much easier, I think, to understand where you're going, you know, in your art if you get an immediate response or don't, so you know what to do. So I feel like comedy is really a gift in that respect.
Now, you also worked a lot with Jane Lynch. Could you talk
yes,
a little
bit
about
I do. It? I do now. Yeah,
yeah, you do that.
The first time I ever went to Second City, Jane Lynch was an understudy for somebody. And then 2 years later, I became her understudy at The Annoyance. It's such a small, crazy world. But yeah, I sing with Jane. We've been performing together for probably the last 10 years. But we did an album 8 years ago that did very well in the Billboard Top 10. And it's a Christmas album called Swingin' Little Christmas. And so we get to do these Christmas concerts every December. We go out for 2 or 3 weeks and it's a blast. We're performing with this jazz band, the Tony Guerrero Quintet. Tim Davis sings with us too. And it's just like, the music is fun. Some of it's just like, just nice music. But I mean, there's a lot of comedy in what we're doing in between. And some of the songs are actually really funny. So it's a great, I mean, I'm so lucky. We play the Kennedy Center, the Carlisle Hotel, Joe's Pub in New York. We've done a lot of great venues, and I'm always very, very happy to get to play with Jane because she's just, I mean, she's so generous. She's so funny. I feel like we just really click. We know how to play off of each other, and we never worry. If anybody's having an off day, the ball is never dropped. We are there for each other 100%. It's really rare and wonderful.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back.
We have to talk about The Office because that's just phenomenal and everybody loves it. How did you get the role and what was it like working with that incredible cast?
Well, I auditioned twice. I initially auditioned for the part of Jan. I didn't get it. I didn't do the pilot. I ended up replacing somebody from the pilot. And it was just an audition you know, you never know. You never know where life will take you. I knew Steve Carell from Second City days, so I was happy to see him. And I knew Angela because we were in an all-female improv troupe for a couple years called Bitch Planet at a theater in Hollywood. That was really fun. So, yeah, I mean, I felt like it was just kind of and a few people I should have met, like Oscar. I feel like our paths almost crossed a million times, and we knew we had similar friends in the comedy world. Being on The Office, let me tell you, I always felt like Steve was such a generous captain of the ship. He just always made sure that the show was more important than anybody on it, including himself. Like, he really put the show first and the work first. He was never a diva. he never threw tantrums. It was always about the work. And I just kept everybody in check. And, you know, we were told to bring paperwork the first season. They actually wanted us to be doing office work. So that was a really interesting opportunity as an ensemble member of Second City. Like, I understood, like, oh, you just have to be as present as possible. Sometimes my lines would get cut. I would still, the camera would still come to me. I'd still get a laugh. Like, it was pretty special and pretty rare. And I felt like I never had to worry that I didn't speak for a while. And when I did speak, it was always worth it. I got to do a lot of my own physical comedy on the show, which I loved doing. I loved, you know, when Meredith gets hit by Michael Scott's car, like, I was on the top of the car. I had to hit the glass, fall off on a giant.
Really? You
below.
Did that.
I mean, like,
you
I
did that.
Lot, a lot. I did a lot.
Oh, wow.
I did a lot of crazy
that
things.
That wasn't a stunt person.
Thing.
Oh, my gosh.
No, we did have stunt people on the show, though. But sometimes it would use, I would still do it anyway. So some of the cuts are them, some are me, but I did a lot of my own, which was really, really fun. I just had a great time. And I think it's funnier when you can tell that it's the real actor. It doesn't take you out. Because I don't know about you guys, like, I'm old enough to remember the Bionic Woman when her stunt double looked like a football player with a blonde wig on. It didn't even look like a woman. So I kind of, you know, always had that in my mind, like, you know, do it yourself if you can. It's just a joy, you know. You know, and doing a show that you don't even realize is going to have an impact. But when we did the first season, I was still waiting tables because I didn't know if we were going to get picked up. And I remember seeing my one big boss there, and he invited me to come and watch in the editing bay and see like a finished episode. And I just was like, I thought it was so good. And I was just worried that the network wouldn't, I almost thought it was too good. That it wouldn't be understood, because we really, our show really changed a lot of TV comedy, because we had the documentary style. We had the what they call the talking head, where, you know, people have like an interview with the camera. That was all new to TV. We were the first one to really do that and to do it well. And I think that, I'm just so proud of the show. I think it's so smart, and so many kids have plugged into it. I mean, both your kids have plugged into it. And I just feel like, there's no accident. The show treats the audience very intelligently. Like, they treat them like they have intelligence. They don't tell them when to laugh. You can watch the same episode again and again and find something different to laugh at, because you laughed over something that might have happened right after what you were laughing at. You know, I mean, but I love that, the loyalty and like just the relatability. I mean, everyone's had a job where they have a boss, and, you know, or they go to school and the teacher's kind of like the boss and they're a desk next to someone that they don't particularly like. So I feel like it's very, very relatable.
I thought so. And always I thought about Meredith. I can't imagine, first of all, anybody else being Meredith,
right,
except for you. I can't at all. And I kept thinking about, okay, she gets bit by a bat. She gets hit by her bus. Meredith really could have collected a lot of, she could have been really
workers' comp.
If only she was sober enough to fill out the form. Oh, well.
As the show gained popularity, did it surprise you? I know you said after watching that one episode, you knew you had something smart and wonderful on your hands. But as it grew into like cult-like, you saw The Office stuff, every story you went in had something The Office related. What was that like?
I mean, it's totally the dream, you know? I mean, I always wanted to be on a really fun comedy that had a great finale. And that's what I got. Like, cause I grew up watching Mary Tyler Moore and MASH, like, and even Carol Burnett, like, where they really acknowledged the end of their series. And it was just so nice to, you know, be a part of that. And, you know, and it's a great thing to feel like you're, being rooted for by people you don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of affection for all of us. And I feel like I was not driving the bus. I was not the main chorus on The Office, but I was on a team, and I'm proud to represent.
Yeah, that's what I felt like that show was, that it was an ensemble and it was a team. And you're right, that final was great. You know, it really was. Because sometimes finales are disappointing.
A letdown,
But that wasn't. I loved it. And I listened to The Office Ladies, and how at the beginning, you know, you said, you know, they weren't sure if they're going to pick it up, and they weren't sure if it was going to continue. And look what this did. Look at the door. Everybody knows who everybody from The Office everybody. I mean, right. That's what I feel like.
Once the eighth season and the show ended, what happened then? Did you kind of, was it a hard transition into doing something after that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did a lot of indie films. The first, first couple of indie films I did, one went to Sundance. So I got to do a lot of festivals. And then, you know, there was another one at like the Toronto Film Festival, and then the Tribeca Film. I had a couple films in the Tribeca Film Festival. So I mostly did indie films. I've done like over a dozen and, or a couple dozen, I should say. And some guest star stuff. I was recurring on American Housewife as Nancy, the crossing guard. And then I got into a cartoon on Cartoon Network called OKKO, where I played KO's mom for 3 years. And I recurred on Steven Universe as Barb, the letter carrier, Sadie's mom. So yeah. And then I played Harper's mom on, Wizards of Waverly Place. So yeah, I've had some fun stuff and then getting to do live stuff as well. I feel like and I was also doing my comedy act, The Lampshade, which we did for, oh my God, we did it every week for the first 5 years, like even while I was doing The Office. It's like a dying lounge act. We used to do a comedy club and open for a lot of big acts at big comedy festivals. So yeah, it was, I mean, I've been really, really lucky. I get to do a lot of different things. And, you know, I actually, and 4 years ago, I got to do Dancing with the Stars, which
that was my next question.
Like, I don't even think I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. I'm so old. I hadn't danced since I was in my 20s. And I'll be honest with you, I got the call. My sister Nancy had passed away from breast cancer. And I got the call literally driving back from the funeral to my dad's. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't even move. I don't even know how to put one foot in front of the other. I was just like in grief. And I just, you know, a few weeks later, I was like, I think I'm doing this. And, you know, there was like just kind of enough time to get me on board. And it was such a gift. And it's just so interesting because my sister Nancy, I remember when we were, you know, she was brave enough to talk about like, you know, what kind of funeral she wanted and all that stuff. And those conversations that are so hard to have. But yet, like, I'm so honored we got to have them. You know, she said she wanted a dance party. So I feel like I gave her a dance party, like sort of, or she gave me a dance party really is really what happened. That's really what happened. She gave it to me.
That's wild.
And I had such a great experience. It was really, really difficult, really physically challenging, mentally challenging. A little emotional just because, you know, it's hard to be judged every week. And, you know, I kept saying like, I'm 55. Like I cannot, like, you know, forget to talk about that. And I'm, you know, I was completely out of shape before. And then I ended up getting to do a big part of the tour of Dancing with the Stars that year. And actually I hosted and, I got to do a comedy monologue and did a bunch of my dances from my season, which was insane and so fun. And I could not party on the bus because, oh my God, every day was such a challenge, like to stay in shape. And I got to host at Radio City, which was 6,000 people. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Just like, it was just like, so I've had some really, really amazing experiences. I was just at the Dancing with the Stars tour. They had a show in Hollywood, and my partner and his wife, Pasha and Daniela, they were there, and they pulled me up on stage for one thing, and I got to dance with Gleb. It was really fun. So they're like a family too. They really, it's like once you're sort of in the club, but I just had a really, it's an interesting opportunity for me that I never would have expected that would have, you know, I don't even know if I could do any of it. Like I thought I would get cut the first week. You never know. You never know. So if you feel like you're done, you're not done. You're not done. Just show up.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we've talked to a few people that have been on Dancing with the Stars. It sounds so hard.
Right?
But I mean, it sounds really hard, but it sounds like too with you, look at these people that you know, this community you've gotten from being in that's really amazing. I know.
The fans are great.
Is there one genre you like better, like movies and TV or perhaps the stage or singing, or is there a preference?
There's really not. I mean, I always feel like I kind of always feel like whatever I'm doing at the moment is like the best thing. But I mean, 9 years on The Office, it's hard to beat. I've worked on a bunch of TV shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and, you know, New Girl. And I mean, I've been on a bunch of stuff. But I feel like there's something about that particular job that is, I feel like it really was the best of times.
Well, you know, like to ask women of our age range about their experiences with menopause. So if you don't mind sharing your personal experience, what was it like?
Well, it actually kind of started during Dancing with the Stars. So it was great to be really physical because that's a rare thing. But I've had a year before that I had frozen shoulder and I was like, what is this? What is this? And I'm told that that is related to menopause.
Yes.
And then I got it again during pandemic. I got the other arm during pandemic and I was like, oh my God. But I luckily had a physical therapy and that really, really helped. And also understanding that it had a beginning, middle, and end. And if I just kept doing the exercises, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. I've also, this doctor that I go to that I have these non-prescription YAM. It's like a YAM supplement. I think it's like standard processes. Anyway, and that, so I've taken, that's really helped as well. And another thing called prolamide iodine. So I've taken a few things over the counter that have been really, really helpful. I mean, they definitely, the night twist kind of hit me when the pandemic started. And I was so nervous because when I would wake up hot, I thought, oh my God, I've got COVID. I'm hot. I've got a fever. So I had a thermometer with me, like literally next to me all the time because I was so worried that it was COVID. Such a crazy time. But I feel like, you know, I'm one of seven kids and there's six women in my family, six girls and one boy. And luckily I had sisters to talk to. I talked to my mom a little bit about it before she passed, my mom's sister, my Aunt Ann. And, you know, everybody has like a slightly different age thing when it kicks in. So it's just because you're someone's daughter does not mean you're going to get the same schedule as them. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. Or sister, like it's, everybody gets their own. So, but you know, I will say the diet thing is tough because I feel like sugar in any form just makes you put on weight. It just does. And also soy flour, which you like, you think you're like, oh, I'll have soy, particularly soy flour. It's like that causes more night sweats than anything. Like that's like, that's not, once I stopped, I was eating something that had it in it and it was like some sort of snack. I'm like, and once I stopped, I was like, oh my God, I feel so much better. So there's so much information that we don't have. We don't share. It's not available. I don't know. I mean, if I was in charge, I'd be making commercials about this stuff all the time. Just like the more you know, right?
Right.
Come on. Stories on it. Like we should be letting women know, like, hey, this is what's going on. There's none of it. You know, you know, see like, you know, women's magazines, they don't even talk about it. Like every women's publication of any kind to just have like a, hey, this is what to expect, or this is like the QR code, go there and get some information.
What to expect when you're expecting, it should be what to expect when you have menopause.
And yeah.
It's slowly changing, but the narrative, it's slow. It's definitely,
it's so slow.
Have to hunt for it. You really have to dig. And then women feel, are not women, but people, they don't like to put it out there because they feel like they're going to catch it. it's a disease.
Right. No, totally. Or some women don't want to admit that like that they're older.
Right.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, you can still look good and go through this. It doesn't mean, you know, I mean, and also like at a certain point, I mean, whatever. I just, there's a vanity factor that I'm just like, give it up. It's vanity and sanity. Let's just get real.
I love that.
Vanity and sanity.
I love that. I'm going to ask you what you're looking forward to now. Like what's next on the horizon?
There's a couple things I can't talk about. can't do it. This summer I have a bunch of fan events. I the last 2 years I've been doing, a bunch of minor league, fan events, at minor league baseball, games across the country. And it's so fun. And I love baseball. And I'm literally throwing out the first pitch and taking pictures with people for a couple hours. And yes, I'm kind of bowling in the sky. I'm not the best pitcher. I just play softball, but I'm not. I mean, it's also like it's pretty far to go from the mound to the catch. It's not close. I've learned a few tricks, but. So yeah, that's something I'm doing this summer. And so look, if you see like an office night or like whatever, like I'm probably there. Yeah. I have another film coming out called Bolts in the Blue, which is, It's a movie I did in Alaska, and it's God, that was such a trippy process. So yeah, we'll see. Well, yeah, and I'm sure some other stuff is going to pop up. Like, and I have done a bunch of game shows and stuff I can't talk about yet, but you'll see. You'll see. Don't worry.
Well, we'll have to have you back on at that point to talk about when you can talk about what are, you know, and I wanted to ask you about the game shows. Like, how competitive are other celebrities really? Because I know you've done several of them.
Yeah, there's some that are like, whoa, they're not messing around. Like, but you know, I mean, in general, it's really fun. And what I love about game shows is that they pop up everywhere. And you know, when I'm home visiting my family in Philadelphia, and I'll run into a friend of mine from grade school, they're like, "Oh my gosh, what the fuck are you doing?" You know, like it's just a great way to connect with the world with my world, I should say. And I'm you know, I feel very lucky to get to be a part of people's time during the day. You know, it's just like it's a privilege. It really, really is. No matter how light the content is, you know, it's fantastic.
Well, it's nice that you just sound so grateful for all of the opportunities. Yes. And like you said, I think it comes also with age that we are just more grateful for the big and the small. Do you find that you're looking more forward to the next chapter and the next chapter, you know, the next eight, the next?
I think so. Decade? I mean, I definitely have a couple things coming up. Like, a couple creative projects that are like a real challenge to me, and I'm happy to be challenged, and I'm happy to, you know, roll up my sleeves and get into it. I think I'm an artist first, and you know, it just, when the universe like actually steps up and allows you to explore all this stuff you know, and have fun in the process and make money doing it. I mean, it's all gravy, seriously. I mean, I always say, like, if my boss really hit me with this car, you know what? I had a good run. I'm just saying. Not that I want to be.
Don't let it happen.
But, not good. Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you sound so appreciative. And that's such a great, you know, example for a lot of women our age, you know, just what the life you're living right now just is such a great example. So, but thank you for sharing that with us.
And you know, I think being in the moment too, and like, just enjoy, all we really have is our time with each other. That's all we really have. And you know, if you could just make the best of it, do your best and take the high road. And I feel like also as you get older, if you're crazy, you got to work on your crazy, because you get crazier. Really,
just another level.
I think the crazy
level
gets really loud.
Yes.
There's no filter.
Either you calm and then or you blow up. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. This was such a fun conversation.
This was so fun.
And please come back anytime to talk about your secret projects. We would love to hear more about
them. Sounds good. And maybe I'll even get out of the car next time. I'm sorry, you guys know.
You know what?
She's not
it work.
She's not driving.
Yes.
I'm just on cruise control. No, I'm never on cruise control. Never. Trust me. Never. I always have to drive. I'm a bad passenger. I have to drive. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
It was so great catching up with Kate Flannery. It was the funniest terms that she used. You've got to check out the video, because you have to see some of her facial expressions when she says bummer. It's so funny. Just to see
what true.
It's great. I just make sure, I'm really looking forward to catching The Prank with Rita Moreno in it. I mean, I love that. They're just a great example of someone. She's in her 90s and still doing work, still out there giving it everything she's got. And I can't wait to see that. Don't forget to check us out on social media. We have Instagram. We have a really wonderful Facebook group where we ask people, women get in there and help each other out and ask questions, and make sure you check out the Modern Prairie app as well.
So we hope that you guys have a great week. Again, if you are so inclined and enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate a rating and review. It gets the algorithms to send us out to more women, and the more women we can reach, the more information is out there for us to have conversations about. Have a great week, ladies, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.